When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Brennan's View condos are presented by Irish Realty. Only a few luxury units remain. Tailgate on the Brennan's View's rooftop deck, just steps from Eddy Street Commons and the Notre Dame campus. Take advantage of a $2,500 buyer's upgrade package through the end of November. Check out brennansview.com or irishrealty.net.
What's going on, Notre Dame fans? Mike Singer and Tim Hyde with this week's Notre Dame football show, which is brought to you by Brennan's View condos, presented by Irish Realty. Only a few luxury units remain. Oh, Tim, we were off last week with family and celebrating Thanksgiving Eve and Thanksgiving, of course. So we didn't have any live shows last week other than the post-USC content. But we are back this week in our regularly scheduled hour. And great news to report. I think Tim and I are just going to stick with Wednesdays indefinitely, right?
Hey, you never know in this crazy world, but so far so good. Keep rocking. It's Notre Dame, right? Off season. There's no off season at Notre Dame, so you know there'll be news.
So as long as Tim and I are available and our wives allow us, we will be doing these shows every single Wednesday night, right around the 7 p.m. hour. And Joey, if you're ready to chat about Notre Dame football, then so am I. So. Tim, let's go ahead and get into our best of the week here. Yours is about a certain quarterback that you're just going to defend him. And how dare you do that, Tim?
It's, I mean, obviously the talk probably from 5 seconds from now until, I was thinking earlier driving over here was like, until we, until Notre Dame plays the Buckeyes, it's all going to be about quarterback. So, I just love this because
tell what it is for our folks listening on.
Oh, it's the single season pass efficiency, the highest, it's the quarterback ranking in the history of Notre Dame football. You have obviously Jimmy Clausen's 2009 season, which was just outstanding. Williams during the Frank Leahy years. Awesome. Brady Quinn, 2005. He's the 2006 Maxwell Award winner. And then you got Drew Pine, who's ahead of a Heisman Trophy winner, John Hewitt, and who I've had dinner with him a couple of times. Great, great man. So he always talks about how Notre Dame needs to get more modern day guys. I'm like, well, get out there and help us. And he always laughs about that. But Drew Pine, Mike, is the fourth highest ranked passing efficiency. And it's just like, I just want to spend a minute and just be like, heck of a season. I mean, seriously, from the start, where he was, is he the Heisman Trophy winner? Is he this? Is he that? People are talking. I mean, how many conversations have we had, Mike, where people are in the message board, the chat saying he's not even a Power Five quarterback. He wouldn't even play in the MAC. It's been overkill, and it's crazy to think about. I just wanted to give him kudos for having the season that he did. And 22 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions. This was not 2007 Notre Dame. And sometimes I feel like the comments are acting like Notre Dame can't get a first down and they're losing every game. It's like, this team's about ready, probably more than likely play in the Gator Bowl, which is a heck of a bowl game for going 8-4 and against a really good SEC team. And we'll see what happens. And, I was just looking at numbers, comparing him, Brady Quinn, second year, all these quarterbacks. When I say second year, because Drew Pine redshirted, he had a heck of a season when you look at him historically, where he's been with some of these quarterbacks as a second-year starter.
Yeah, stuff's it's always interesting. And Tim is just this big Drew Pine homer. I know Notre Dame fans. Can you believe that Tim Hyde does even have the audacity to say anything?
You know, in the
public, or
let me just take 30 more seconds. You know, it's right because we've had so many, like I said, so many conversations, but it's like the guy performed to his best. He showed up each and every game. You know, he didn't have five pick games and whatnot. He won some big football games now. They beat Brigham Young. They beat North Carolina. They beat Syracuse. They beat Clemson. He's, what, 88% passing against USC. Obviously, the two turnovers were killer. But those were like his only game with two turnovers happened to be USC, which, you know, I hate to be Debbie Downer. Notre Dame, historically, in the last 20, 25, 30 years since Lou Holtz, they haven't won a lot of games against top 10 teams on the road. So I thought the expectations were a little overkill in the Coliseum. And I thought Notre Dame competed its tails off and it went against a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. And it is what it is.
It is what it is. That is the most true statement when it comes to Drew Pine. I feel like as the season was going on or in his first few starts, it was like, we still weren't 100% sure what to make of him. Right? Is he good? Is he bad? He is exactly who he is. Someone who can be a super accurate passer, and make some really nice throws in the intermediate game, but also just has these God-limiting, you know, gifts. You know, like, he just does not have the physical tools that, you know, Caleb Williams and Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen are blessed with. But he gives it his all. I just don't understand how anyone can not root for him or say bad things about him or mock him. It's honestly ridiculous.
No, I agree. I agree, Mike, because that he was Notre Dame's quarterback. It's like, root for the guy. If they have a different quarterback in 2023, so be it. But I thought he gave it his all. A real interesting stat is his completion percentage was 65%, which is interesting. He never had one game with 60% passing. He had a couple in the 50s, a bunch in the 70s, and one in the 80s. So when you round it up, he had 65%. So I just found that interesting, his final number.
Yeah. So, that's kind of the wrap up on Pine. I've been sleeping for most of the day, folks. I had a surgery on my tooth implant site from a few years ago. I had to get some work done on it. So I'm a little bit lethargic this evening, but we're going to get through it. Just like Drew Pine is a tough cookie, I think I can be a tough cookie. So get through it. But yeah, hit the thumbs up if you're watching here on YouTube. Drop a super chat if you have anything we want to get answered right away. Yeah, like Milton Fan said, DP is tough, serviceable, not amazing nor bad. Agree. And Joey, you know we are always ready to chit-chat about Notre Dame football as well. We'll go to my best of the week, which was this All-America team offense by PFF. Two Notre Dame guys making the first team. Michael Mayer, of course, being the tight end, and then Joe Alt. Just my boy making the first team. I got a text from someone very close to him. I'm not going to say who, just in case anyone. I got a text from someone very close to Joe Alt when this came out and said, "Mike, you called it first." And, you know, I just kind of, I was like, "Oh, that's awesome," whatever. I didn't want to take credit for it because not even I thought he would have been this good this fast. You freaking serious? Now is the time I thought maybe you could be, is someone hurt and he could get into the lineup as a sophomore. And just a couple years ago, he's a tight end and now he's the best left tackle in college football. So, And then on Mayer, Tim, I'm sure you want to mention the whole Mackey Award situation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 30 seconds on Joe Alt. I go back to the spring game. Remember when we did a live show after the spring game and Joe Alt was my game MVP? I was blown away by how he looked, how physical he looked, how dominant he looked in that game. He went against Isaiah Foskey and just shut him down in the spring game. You know, obviously it's a glorified scrimmage, all that stuff. But, you know, I remember just talking about his dominating performance, and he just looked like an NFL left tackle all season long. He was awesome. The highest ranked Notre Dame player in half of the games this year for Pro Football Focus. So the number one ranked player. And obviously there's some amazing left tackles in the country this year. And for Alt to get that is outstanding. And as far as Michael Mayer goes, just heck of a season, a heck of an ending at SC, a couple touchdowns, great game. And then finally to get the elusive, right? John Mackey Award nomination after it's still mind-boggling how he wasn't a finalist last year, but he got a finalist this year, and now it's going to be fingers crossed as the national media, those guys that vote for that, do they see the best tight end in the country and award it to him? Because some Notre Dame guys have lost out recently. Julian Love, I thought, was the best corner. He didn't win the Thorpe, and I've said it a million times. I'm going to say it again. I want to see the vote for the 2017 Outland, and how in the hell did Quentin Nelson not win that darn thing? So it's still mind-boggling. But I think the Mackey's at that ESPN Awards hype show that they do in Orlando. And I think it's next week. Yeah. So yeah. Really looking forward to it. And if he doesn't win it, it is going to be wild on Twitter. That's kinda for sure.
Hope that because he didn't even get a seat at the table last time, they'll feel bad for him, give him the trophy. If even that's the reason, I'm fine with it. Just get the damn the Mackey.
Exactly.
Get the damn man the Mackey. Wanted to mention for folks, if you had any issues with our Goolsby show Sunday, I edited something out afterwards, and then it like screwed up the video audio sync if you were listening or if you're watching on like a TV or a laptop or something, but it was fine on the phone if you're watching on YouTube on your phone. So I do apologize if anyone had any issues with that. Of course, we upload this show and then the Goolsby show as podcasts as well. Even though I might have forgot to do that, the one for the Goolsby one. I don't know. It's been a struggle of week, folks. National Signing Day is close. Give me a break. If folks do want to go over to our sponsors, Brennan's View, presented by Irish Realty. They have been great support for us here at Blue and Gold. Only a few luxury units remain at Brennan's View Condos. You could tailgate on the rooftop deck, just steps from Eddy Street Commons and the Notre Dame campus. Take advantage of a $2,500 buyer's upgrade package through the end of November. Check out Brennan's View. .com, folks, Brennan'sView.com. Tim, I think Notre Dame got pretty good news handed to it this week when Cam Hart announced on Twitter that he would be returning to the Notre Dame football program. What was your reaction to that? Is that something that you saw coming, or is it a total surprise?
No. Oh, I was shocked. I'm not going to sit here and say, I called it 2 weeks ago. No, I was blown away. I was absolutely shocked. Because I was just like, just thinking like a normal fan in his situation. So when this thing came on, when it came out yesterday, I saw the picture, beautiful graphic. And by the way, whoever does these at Notre Dame, they are so much better this year than 5 years ago. It's like crazy how good they're getting. And they were awesome when they really got into this a couple of years ago. And state of the art, just unbelievable job that the media is doing there. So I saw this and I'm like, all right, SC's over. He didn't play, had the shoulder injury. He's saying bye. I was actually stunned he's already saying bye. So I click on the thing. I was like, what? One of those had to do a double take. Like, I was stunned. I was blown away because I just assumed he's been there 4 years. He's 2 years as a starter. His best buddy, Kyle Hamilton's in the NFL. He's like, I want to go get some of that NFL money. He's not going to get first round money, but he's going to get some. And then he's had a few injuries and it's like, all right, we'll go do what Kevin Austin's doing on an NFL roster, getting paid while they are rehabbing him, getting ready for his sophomore season in the NFL. I totally thought Cam Hart was going to do that because he's athletic. He was on the athletics freak show, freaks list. I expected him to test well, to run well, interview well, all those things because he spent a whole year in the media last year. And lo and behold, the son of a gun is coming back. I was blown away. Huge news for Notre Dame. Because they really, really had an amazing pass defense this year when you break down the numbers over the 12 games. They were upper echelon in so many categories in the entire country. So him, Morrison, Mickey returning. What's Lewis going to go? I mean, God, we could talk DBs forever. That's going to be an ultimate flip the coin with that whole group. Who's coming back? Who's not?
Great problem to have.
It is, but I will be honest, absolutely floored by Cam Hart coming back, and great, great news for the 2023 team.
Yeah, so in a little bit later in the show, actually coming up here pretty soon, we're going to kind of talk about, lay it all out, who could go, or what do we envision, kind of all that stuff. Not so much reporting at this point. If you follow On Three Sports on Twitter, you will see nonstop, oh, this player's entering the portal, or, you know, I guess they can't announce it until they can announce it now, but not actually do it until Monday. But yeah, it's just been crazy town. So many players are leaving their schools with this one-time transfer portal rule, one-time transfer rule, and none from Notre Dame yet. But I am expecting that to happen soon.
Oh yeah, there's gonna be an avalanche. I would flip a coin and say. I mean, there was, I think, a dozen last year, if I remember right. I know Patrick Engel wrote a great article about breaking down all of them, where they went back in back in the early winter part. So I think it was 12, 13.
Yeah,
I'm fully expecting that number to be there. As you know, me, you, and Goolsby were texting back and forth today about bodies and numbers. I think I count 93 right now on scholarship. 93 of training camp started today. And that's with a couple of guys I don't think will return. I'm talking seniors. So 93, you got to get to 85. That's including your article on a blue and gold to 27 in the class of 2023 prediction. So that's 8 bodies you got to find. Then on top of that, Mike, you know they need a transfer here, a transfer there. Do the numbers. You're looking at 12, 15 Notre Dame guys are going to probably hit the portal.
All right. I guess let's just go right into that. Sure. That discussion. So you and folks in the watching live with us, if we miss someone, you let me know. This is very much just we're dudes hanging out in the garage, you know, just chit chat Notre Dame ball. So Tim, in your email, you had said 13 seniors coming back. Now you included some third year guys like Carmody and Baker.
When I say senior, I don't do red shirt. I don't do COVID. I'm old school. I'm old school. Carmody's
class. Those guys are going into their senior year, though.
Exactly. Going into their senior. So I'm thinking, I'm already thinking 2023, Chris Tyree's a senior. Tosh Baker's a senior. Sure, they have red shirts in whatever year. So that's
The bigger thing is not even that. It's how they graduated. That's the bigger thing.
Yes.
So I don't know the graduation situation on a lot of these guys.
No, exactly. So they're going to be seniors. So who can leave? And you got to remember that 2020 class, that was the COVID. So they really didn't do, you know, they didn't do the early enrollees. Did they that year? I can't remember.
No, the 2021 class.
Oh, the 2020 class, the Tosh Bakers, the Tyrees, the Mayors.
That was pre-COVID. 2021 was the COVID one.
Was that the COVID? God, I can't remember.
The old 2020 came in.
You're right.
Already enrolled by
that was spring. COVID. You're right. They just missed.
They just had the COVID spring, you know.
One day of practice. Yeah, I think one day of practice and they called it. So, but that's how I look at it is what class are they in going in? So, yeah, when you start looking at seniors, so the 2023 seniors, you know, I'm not talking fifth years, you know, the fifth years, I wouldn't be surprised if my fifth year list is pretty correct.
All right. Let's pop some of these guys up on our screen. Sure. Tim, if you have any other thoughts to add while I am getting this together.
I had that list on a piece of blue paper and I'm trying to find the son of a gun now.
No, I've got it. I'm just pulling it up so I can
make
it look fancy. But yeah, I think like the class of 2020 guys, that you know, your Clarence Lewis and all that, I don't know if that is worth discussing right now. Not that all those guys are leaving or staying, but this is because there's going to be underclassmen who leave. Like go ahead then.
No. I was gonna say that's the point. That's a great point, Mike, because the senior. So if I'm Clarence Lewis and I got these young guys ahead of me, but I'm gonna be a senior, do I stay as a senior and play, get my degree, and then transfer out? You know, they still have a 2020 COVID that doesn't even count. So Lewis played as a true freshman. It really doesn't even count. So some of these guys could get 2 years somewhere else. So does Lewis do that? Does Carmody do that? Is he going to just come back and battle at guard? Is you know, Tosh Baker, you know, there's another one. So those are some of those, that class guys. And then, that's what I see with the seniors. Do they leave? Does Lewis leave? Or does he going to know, hey, I'm probably going to be a starting nickel next year because Hart, Morris, and Mickey are the top three corners.
So there are some of these that you just can't predict, right? No. Like we would not have predicted like Cam Hart, but there are some where it's like, what makes the most sense here? Like there are sometimes you can make sense of things. Like if I am, I hate to use an example, but it's the most obvious one. If I'm Chris Tyree,
yes,
I'm going into my senior year and I'm getting the third most touches on the team. And you got this young stud, Jadarian Price, coming up. What do you do? And such a big part of it depends on, do you have your degree? Like, I don't think Tyree enrolled early, like, but Drew Pine, some of those members of the 2020 recruiting class did enroll early. So again, we really don't want to like speculate and put things out there that, you know, are not true. Again, this is just,
just garage talk.
Garage talk. You know? But let's just
go through this. I'm sorry, Mike. Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, that some of them leave. Some of these older guys, as you're talking about, do they graduate in May and then, or summer guys? Because as far as I know, and the COVID rules are, I have not, whenever I have a question, I ask Patrick Engel on the message board. He's the guru on this. So technically, Tyree and all these guys, Clarence Lewis, they've only played 2 years because 2020 doesn't count, correct?
So they have 2 years still to play.
So if they graduate in May because they've done summer or whatnot, they could, you know, Chris Tyree's from Virginia, right? So he could go to Virginia Tech and play. I shouldn't say Virginia Tech. That's Ashton Pollard's most hated school.
I hope you are watching this right now. Ashton, if you are watching this right now, go ahead and send Tim and me a middle finger emoji. That would be amazing.
I literally just remember that. But so UVA, excuse me. So Tyree could go to UVA and play for two full seasons. So that's going to be interesting with these seniors, how they do it. Like you're saying with the graduate, I think the fifth year guys, I think Zeke Correll's a lock to come back.
All right, let's talk about this.
Yeah, that's going to be the intro because that gets into the fabulous position, the linebackers. Yeah, Zeke, you got to assume he's coming back. He's a starter at center. Why would they want their, you know, starting center to leave? It makes no sense. He took every snap this year.
Well, so at this point, though, it's the discussion of, is the player too good to not go to the NFL, or is he not good enough to stay here? And you've got to find kind of that middle ground, right? Or that player is kind of like Cam Hart, where it's playing for a better NFL opportunity. Does that sound right, Tim?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
So Zeke kind of seems like he fits perfectly in the middle there. Maybe this is kind of the one, better chance to impress the NFL.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And he's going to be a second-year starter, another year with Coach Easton. So, yeah, I think he's a no-brainer just because he won the starting position, probably with that in mind that, hey, you're coming back for that fifth year. That's why they moved Jared Patterson to get him on the field. So you got a 99.9% sure. I would put a dollar saying he's coming back. So,
hey Tim, actually, we're going to pause this. I forgot we had a super chat from earlier. Sure. Andrew says, hey Mike, definitely concerned about USC going forward. Is Malachi Nelson a Caleb Williams 2.0? Tim, is Riley starting a Pete Carroll type run?
Malachi Nelson's a stud. He's no Caleb Williams. Malachi could throw the son of a gun 150 yards. He's not Caleb. I love Caleb Williams. He's great. I've rewatched the SC game 3 times and I got to stop watching it because Notre Dame was.
First thing I read when I woke up this morning.
Oh, man. He texted me. Oh, yeah. I hear you. It's Notre Dame actually did a heck of a lot more good in that game than bad, believe it or not, when you watch it up close. But Caleb's a special guy. A run to me, I mean, I was coaching during that whole era in Southern California. I've been around Pete Carroll's meetings, spring practices, fall camps. I've been in depth. I have a close friend that coached there with him. And I saw everything Pete did up close and personal. And what he did was recruit the heck out of Southern California. And then he branched out nationally as they built their brand, what he did. Riley. Yeah. I mean, Riley's going to get the hype and whatnot, but it's a different era because he could just go out and get 20 transfers. because it's SC, it's Los Angeles. They're going to have, I mean, brand names, you know, Fortune 500 companies out there to help out with NIL and all that. Like Addison's got an airline deal, for crying out loud. So, which is crazy. So completely different because Carroll built it via recruiting. Lincoln could do that. You know, Coach Riley can do that just with the portal. But yeah, Nelson's a stud, but he had quarterbacks in Oklahoma. He's going to, I mean, when has SC never had a good quarterback? They've always had good quarterbacks. So they're going to have quarterbacks. It's USC. That's what they do. So as far as building a dynasty, it's going to still be, what does he do with the Southern California talent base? Because right now, I mean, you're in recruiting, Mike. You see a lot of those SoCal kids from Los Angeles to San Diego. A lot of those premier guys are bouncing to other schools. SC has not cleaned up recently. And, and really, even in this class, they're not with the Southern California guys.
Yeah, they need to do more of that. But they're also cleaning up elsewhere. You know, like they've been, you know, doing a good job of going, you know, across the country.
Texas, there,
The way USC is maybe going about it is not ideal, right? And this is why for college football, I don't like change. It's a don't broke. If it's not broke, don't fix it kind of thing for me. Like college football is so amazing. I don't want it to be changed around much. And NIL has definitely done that. So you kind of hope that that corrects itself, that NIL and you know, the NCAA are just kind of able to figure out how to not, you know, have your first bought national championship team. Like that's, you know, definitely what we want to avoid. But with all that being said, if Notre Dame and USC are, you know, perennial college football playoff contenders, that's really good for the sport. You know, if you're tired of, you know, watching ESPN, you know, college football coverage or just any college football coverage, they all talk about the South. What's the easy? They, you know why they talk about the South? Because that's who's winning.
Yeah.
So if you get Ohio State, Notre Dame, USC, maybe even going up to Washington, God forbid, Boston College, Arkansas, Missouri, Kansas have some good years. Like you need college football to be the United States of America thing and not just a Southeast thing.
Well, it's probably going to be that this year. You got the old Southwest and TCU. You got SC and the old West. You know, that school in Ann Arbor, every Notre Dame fan hates, Michigan. I hate to say it, but they're going to go back-to-back playoffs. That's pretty crazy. So you got the Midwest, the South, the West, and you got Georgia in the Deep South. So, you know, touching that Atlantic Ocean out there. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be kind of spread out this year when you're looking at the four.
All right, let's continue on. So Jason Adamola is out of eligibility. He's done. Or yes. Maybe he can play like a ninth or 10th year. Who knows anymore? No, what about his brother, Tim? What are you thinking about his brother, Justin?
He's the wild card because they need a Viper. They need a Viper. And he's played a lot of minutes the last 2 years, rotating with Foskey. And then even this year, once they got to the second half of the season, they started playing what I call the NFL nickel front four, where you get the two stand-up ends. And, you know, Justin and Isaiah Foskey were those two stand-up ends. They did a lot of it in the SC game. So Justin's the key. Does he just try and, you know, get a practice squad or something? That's what it'll be. He's not going to be I don't think he's a drafted guy in the NFL. He's too short for the position he plays. He's never been a frontline starter at Notre Dame. He's got a lot of film. So my fingers are crossed he comes back and he is the Viper. That's the 1 6th-year guy Notre Dame needs, without a doubt. I feel.
All right, and then we already touched on Cam Hart. The big news that the Good Counsel of player, that's his high school out in the Olney, Maryland area. Huge get for Notre Dame.
Yes.
To retain him. Mike Goolsby's favorite, Maris Leafau, linebacker. What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, oh man, yeah, no, I laugh because I know how Mr. Goolsby thinks about him and whatnot. I look at it as, you know, I'm always looking at it from an aerial view, both sides on all those things. It was his first year starting, correct? It was his first year as a full-time player. He missed all of 2021, but he's a senior. He has his degree. I would assume, talking right now, me, you, and I'll probably text Goolsby later, you got him, Kaiser, Bertrand. I mean, you got three guys eligible for a fifth year. Do they all return? Or does Maris who, you know, probably even has a COVID year, whatever, you know, however all these, I mean, he's already a graduate student. Kaiser's already got his degree. So he's going to come back and get another degree, or does Kaiser take his grad degree and go play at IU, Purdue, Wisconsin, somewhere for 2 years in the Big Ten? Bertrand, I'm all 100%. Bertrand's coming back. I don't know how he does it. He's a captain, right? He's the team leading tackler the last 2 years. How does JD Bertrand not come back?
So you think Bertrand goes, or excuse me, Bertrand stays, Kaiser goes. What about Marist?
50-50. I would say Bertrand comes back. I would give Kaiser a hug. And yeah, he's got a graduate degree from Notre Dame. I would say Kaiser moves on because you have these dudes behind him that have to play. When I say have to, Mike, I'm thinking of your business in recruiting. Are you going to go in the 2023 season with a kid from the South and Prince Collie, a kid from the South and Jalen Sneed, and they're going to be on the bench? What's that going to do for Freeman trying to recruit SEC linebackers down the road? That's my whole point with some of these things. Yeah. Some of these young guys have to play next year. Leofell's 50-50. He's a West Coast guy. Does he have his degree? Does he want to go play out in Oregon for a year or whatnot? That's going to be an interesting one. Do you flip a coin on him? Or does he come back and he's a Viper?
Yeah. Again, going back to how I said, like, there's these different camps of this.
Yes.
Right. You have these upperclassmen guys, but then there's the, I think we touched on this a little bit. You got the younger guys, or excuse me, some older guys who are being outplayed by younger guys in terms of snaps. So it's like, or do you have any of those where the two mesh, you know, like I think Nana Safa-Mensah has been playing some ball for Notre Dame, but he can't be fired up about the career he's had to this point. Just I think he's been very serviceable for Notre Dame. He's been healthy, but he hasn't been able to break into rotation yet.
Yeah, serviceable. I mean, he's been a solid backup. You know, good physical. He's gotten better each and every year he's been at Notre Dame. I would say he's coming back because Notre Dame needs DNs. I mean, none of these freshman DNs, you know, got a snap until the last 12 seconds against Boston College this year. So none of those D linemen, right, got any reps this year. So who's going to play DN? I think Riley Mills is an inside guy. So Nana's got to have to come play because I'm assuming that next year's freshmen coming in aren't going to play. I don't think none of those D linemen outside of Vernon are guys that could play on day one. You know, when talking about, the DNs that they're recruiting. So I think Nana's a position of need. They need defensive ends. And I see him playing.
Moving along, Howard Cross, the guy that Notre Dame could definitely use. What do you think, Tim?
He's going to come back just because he's played so much football the last 2 years. You know, you just hear the coaches just rave about him. They love him, you know, and I would be shocked if he does not come back. Starter, get a fifth-year starter next year and then go see what he could do in the NFL. He's small, he's tiny, but he's physical. Point of attack is outstanding. But then you have these guys behind him and the Rubio and the Aiden, you know, Canina that they need to get on that field just for pure size. That's my question right here.
Yeah. Christophic, what do you think?
Yes. Yeah. He's in that same class with Zeke, starter in 2021, starter against Ohio State. And then we didn't see him the rest of the year because obviously Harry doesn't rotate. I'm telling you, Mike, this is when I go back and forth 100 times when I start looking at roster next year. Me personally, I would not be surprised if he leaves. I'm just saying that because some of the young guys that they've been recruiting these last couple classes, some really good offensive guard. I mean, Christophic was highly ranked. He's a heck of a football player. You know, I think he could be a fifth-year starting left guard, right guard in a heartbeat next year. You know, but does he take his degree and go play somewhere else for 2 years? He's one I would put $2 on today that I think he leaves for his fifth year.
Okay.
I'm just seeing that, just no knowledge, no nothing, just a guess.
And then you had a handful of other guys you felt like, you know, whether it's NFL or finding new opportunity that you think are going to bolt. Braden Lindsey.
Yeah, because he would be a six-year guy, I believe. Yeah, and I think he's already said he's not coming back.
It's such a pain in the ass trying to track who has what years. It's seriously such a pain.
It is.
We should have had Patrick Engel on for this episode so he could.
Oh, he's the best. How he monitors this, Mike, I don't know. It's like his roster is so crazy. It drives me nuts.
He's very smart. He's got a lot of loose emoji in him.
Yes.
Tariq Bracey, was that one?
I think he's out of eligibility last I read. So I think he's used up his all his years. He's gone.
Aceto Okwuonu.
Never played. Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he's got his Notre Dame degree and he's going to move on.
Yeah, Bo Bauer has to be out of eligibility at this point. Same with Jared Patterson.
Yes.
But yeah, NFL will be calling him in anyway. Yes. Jason Adamalola, we talked about. Chris Smith, I believe, is out of eligibility.
Out of eligibility, yeah.
From the 1-year transfer from Harvard.
Heck of a Josh player, Mugg. By the way.
Yeah. What's that?
Heck of a player. Chris Smith was solid football player for Notre Dame.
I didn't think he was going to have the impact he did this year, but he was a very, very good player.
Yes.
Josh Lugg's been playing here since NAM.
he's been playing so long. It's just like Lugg's been playing. He played for Harry Part 1. Hit Notre Dame. That's how long Lugg's been there.
Blake Groupie.
Yeah, transfer last year. He had a 1-year.
Yes, I think that was his last. He's been around college football forever. And an interesting one. I think he's coming back as Mike Mayer. No, I'm kidding. Mike Mayer is, if he called Freeman and said, hey, I want to come back, Freeman better say, no, the hell you don't. What are you doing?
You know, that was a true story with Quentin Nelson. That was reported. Nelson loved Notre Dame, really thought about coming back because the way they ended the season, losing to Miami and Stanford in November. And Brian Kelly was like, are you nuts? You're going to be a top 10 pick. Get the heck out of here. So Nelson, he thought about it. And they're like, no, you're leaving. We've already collected your gear. You're done. Yeah. So they had to kick him out of there. But, that'll be a real quick, interesting question with the bowl. I would assume, I think you would too, Mike. What's the odds of a Foskey, a Adamiola, a Mayer, a Patterson? Why would they play in that Gator Bowl, That's going to be interesting.
Question, does Sott have any eligibility left? I think he does.
Text Patrick. I think Patrick told me. I asked him this. I want to say he doesn't, because those Ivy League guys have different rules. I want to say Sott's done,
because he didn't play in 2020 because Ivy got canceled. So he's only played in, what the hell do I know? Seriously,
Patrick would know.
All right, Sott has none left. Lucas says, "There you go."
Yes,
appreciate it.
Yes,
we're all in this together. What about Brandon Joseph?
Ooh. Yeah, does he do a Cam Hart and come back for a fifth year? Because you got to assume he came to Notre Dame, play 1 year, use that highlight reel, go to the NFL. Notre Dame could use some safeties because for the life of me, I don't know how DJ Brown and Houston Griffith come back for a sixth year. I don't think they will be back. Does Joseph come back or? Do they? Yeah, man. I'm telling you, Mike. Joseph, Kristofic, those two are like big question marks. Because if both those guys return, you got to assume they're going to be starting. Man, with Joseph, I'll say he doesn't come back. How's that?
Yeah,
he's a transfer guy, did his year. He's out. I'll say that.
I think I'm with you there. Last one. Drew Pine.
Wait, transferring?
Yeah.
Oh God, no! I am. He's going to start the bowl game. He's going to have 11 starts under his belt. I don't think so. I think he's going to be a competitive kid in the spring. Not saying he's going to win or whatever. I don't.
Look, Tim. If they bring in a transfer quarterback, I think that's it. I think it's done.
You think he leaves?
Look, folks, if this were something that were like someone had told me behind the scenes that's going to happen, trust me, I would not be saying this on the air.
Yes.
It's been the situation many, 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 many times where I've had to play dumb, right? You just don't speak on that. So this is just my opinion. If he was behind Buckner this year and the year before, what does he think is going to be the third time?
No, I hear you.
They potentially bring in a transfer quarterback, and Angeli's a year older, and they're bringing in Kenny Minchie.
I hear you. No, I'm with you. That's that 2020. That's that 2020 class.
I think this is the – and Goolsby agrees with you. I think I'm going with like a logic of like this is what that person should do. But I think you and Goolsby are thinking what Pine might do because Pine loves Notre Dame.
Sure. And so, he's got those 11 starts, the competitive kid. But I also like what you're saying.
He's probably thinking, I got 11 starts at Notre Dame. I need to be playing. And if it's not at Notre Dame, I need to go somewhere else.
But I also like I like what you said there, Mike, is – if they're bringing in a guy, well, what the hell are they bringing in a guy for? I just started 11 games, and Tyler started two. And you got this hotshot freshman coming in. So what do you – that's a great point, Mike. He may just be like, hey, I've given my all to Notre Dame, right? I was a backup in 2021, came in a couple games, helped the team out, played my tail off in those Wisconsin-Cincinnati games. Tyler gets hurt, and I just led you guys to the Gator – I keep saying the Gator Bowl because that's what the that's what the rumor is. I'm taking you to the Gator Bowl, play an SEC team. Okay, I'm out. Go to wherever the heck he's going to go, you know.
Yeah.
I keep saying Indiana. I keep using IU as an – I'm sorry, IU. So I got a couple ex-football players go there. So,
and I think Pine's career – if this does how it goes – if this how it goes down, I think his career will look at, be looked at favorably over time. I really do believe that, because it's going to be – he was the guy – who was not expected to. He filled in when Buckner and Cone went down last year and played well. And then he filled in when Buckner went down in 2022. And you know what? He wasn't that great, but he played his heart out. And I think that's kind of going to be the rundown.
So. I agree. And that's why I led off the show with that, you know, Notre Dame media relations tweet about the passing efficiency. Like, this was no, you know, turd quarterback, you know, who had 12 touchdowns and threw 17 picks, and Notre Dame struggled and they won a couple of games 17-16. It wasn't that way, you know. And you know, the loss, the Stanford loss, he was horrible, so inaccurate. I mean, dudes are open all over the place, but he also threw a touchdown that got called back because the guy lines up wrong. That's not his fault, right? That one touchdown where Tyree was on the line. So there's many things in the SC game. He battled his butt off. You know, he threw a bad interception. It's probably his interceptions haven't been horrible. It's, you know, that was the worst one. And then the fumble was a drive killer. But even then, he kept bringing them back, right? Kept getting them back within a game. And you know, like I said, I've watched the game a ton. And the game was 10-7, everybody, before halftime. And then Notre Dame's defense just let him go straight down the field the drive before. They stuffed him. They held him. They made him punt. So he kept getting him back. And I think you're right, Mike. We're going to look back and be like, Pine was that guy that kind of was the, I don't want to say the savior because people lose their mind, but
yeah, no.
He did. He played his butt off at Notre Dame quarterback this year.
You know who's the savior for this season? Was Brian Mason.
Except for
Brian Mason gets the MVP.
Kickoff return. Notre Dame needs to get some kickoff returns. But
and that play's just being taken out of college football.
Yeah, you're right.
I think Brian Mason is the team MVP. I'll be interested to see. Notre Dame has its banquet awards in a couple weeks. We'll have reports on that. All right, a couple super chats from Joey, and then we're going to get into our final topic of today's show, Tim, talking a little bold predictions. Joey says, will Freeman have to hire a new position coach/coordinator for next year? So here's the thing, Joey. Typically, this is what I learned in working with Loose Emoji. He'd always write this article or explain this to me whenever I had these kind of questions for him. Is, you know, coaches, for one, this stuff is unpredictable.
Sure.
Freeman could, Ohio State could say, screw you, Ryan Day, and then call Marcus Freeman tomorrow and make him an offer. He can't refuse. Like, you just can't predict this stuff. A year ago today, or yesterday, did you think Brian Kelly was leaving for Bayou? Like, no, like this stuff. So that's the biggest thing, is that you can't predict any of this. But you can look at trends in that if a position coach is a position coach for, you know, he hits that third year, he either is not doing a good enough job because he's not being promoted to a coordinator, or he's getting promoted to being a coordinator and he leaves, right? So I think Notre Dame's staff has just kind of got here.
Yeah.
I don't see Chris O'Leary going anywhere. Mickens was tied to potentially the Cincinnati head coaching job, which would be crazy. We'd go from cornerbacks coach to a head coach at a Power Five school. Cincinnati's going to the Big 12. That's not happening. But he's someone who's climbing up in the ranks, though. Al Golden, how long is he at Notre Dame? Is it one more year? Is it maybe just this year? Some P5 or G5 school says, hey, you know, we'll take a chance on, you know, Al Golden, which isn't really a chance. You know, you're not taking a big swing at a veteran like him. Al Washington, I think, would stay around. Harry's probably going to be running Notre Dame forever. Jared Parker's an interesting one because you have these guys who were coordinators, and now they're down. Like, what would happen with Jared Parker? He's one of those I could see bolting at any time. Chancey Stuckey, I think, is at Notre Dame for another 2 years because he's so new to coaching. Like, and he's doing a great job at Notre Dame. They'd want to keep him, and I still think he's not, you know, his experience is not to the point of a coordinator. Dylan McCullough, I could see going at any point because his experience, I think that his resume, I think a school could think that he is an offensive coordinator, or maybe the NFL comes calling for him, and then that leaves Tommy Rees, which I have no idea what is going to end up happening there. It's going to be fascinating. I've heard rumblings that this is his last season. Then I've heard rumblings that the NFL might not come calling for him. So got no strong opinion there, Tim. What do you think? I just laid out a good rant for you.
No, exactly. And then you forgot Coach Mason. You know, he's, you know, it's his some NFL.
Signed him a lifetime contract.
He's not exactly. You know, but those NFL special teams gigs are the best. So you could be there forever. Some of those guys are there for 30 years doing one thing. But I look at it as it's year one as a coaching staff. So why freak out over 1 year? Oh, we got to make changes. It was 1 year with all these guys together. None of these guys have worked together as a group, this group entirely. It's his first time together. So you got a bunch of different egos, you know, viewpoints. You got dudes in the NFL, Super Bowl rings. He stands coaching the Super Bowl, McCullough with a ring. You know, like you're saying, Parker's been an offensive coordinator. He could be sitting there, what the hell's going on? I'm an OC. But you know what? They're 3-3. They got these guys together. Freeman stuck to his message. And I think that's Marcus Freeman and these assistants rallying these guys to go on that winning streak and to get to, you know, to a really, really good bowl here. So I would be stunned if anyone moved on, unless it's a Lance Taylor type who's been coaching for a few years. He got an OC job.
Yeah.
So, and that's the other thing. All these coaches changes, they haven't even begun. The Luke Fickell to Wisconsin is just probably the tip of the iceberg. Come on. How many coaches are going to start falling? And is someone on this staff know Hugh Freeze? Does someone have a connection to Hugh Freeze? He may go down to Auburn or whatnot. So you never know. Well,
yeah. I want to go back to the beginning of my point of, and this kind of goes with transfers. You're like, you've been here for 3 years, right? And it's like, are you an offensive coordinator or you're not just working out here? It's typically one of those two. Or a defense coordinator, of course. I forgot to mention Mason. I think is going to stay at Notre Dame for the long haul. Now that he's, of course, reunited with Mike Mickens and Chad Bowden and Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame. But to me, it's those guys who could take that next step. And I think it's Deland. I think it's Parker. Washington is interesting. And then Al Golden.
And Rees.
And Rees. Rees is. Rees without-
The thing, if Lou Samoji, you know, if Lou was here, he would say, you know, how many Notre Dame offensive coordinators have been in the same position for 4 years? There's not a lot. You know, the OCs move around. I mean, that's just been Notre Dame's history. Notre Dame has a long history of coordinators moving super, super fast. You know, I mean, Barry Alvarez wins a national title, loses one game in 89, becomes the head coach of Wisconsin. He's at Wisconsin forever. So there's so many coordinators like that through the years at Notre Dame. So Red Rees going into his fourth year, second under obviously Marcus Freeman. And that's how I look at this is under Freeman, it would be their second year. But a lot of those guys you've mentioned are Freeman buddies. Mickens, O'Leary was hired by Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame to coach safeties last year when he was the DC. Parker he's worked with, Washington he's worked with, Mason he's worked with. So these are all some Freeman guys. I don't see anyone leaving unless it's a promotion.
Yeah.
A promotion. And I think if Reese went to the NFL as a quarterback coach or a whatever the heck it is in the NFL, any job in the NFL is a promotion. So, you know, but I'm with you. I don't think there's no
wholesale.
That's crazy after going 8-4 and the rebound that this team finished 5-7, 6-6, and are playing in the Blue Bonnet, and there's not the Blue Bonnet Bowl, but telling you my age right there, but the Bahamas Bowl on December 14th. There would be changes.
Yeah. So K-Max says, so if any of these coaches leave, who replaces them, or is it too early? Yes, it's way, way too early. I mean, let's go ahead and talk bowl projections for 2028 as well. Like, it's just like we've got to, yeah.
And real quick on the coaches who replace, you know, that's going back to last year. It's all who you, I mean, the coaching business, who you know. Freeman went out and got a bunch of guys he knows. And then they sought out some, that's how they got Chancey Stuckey. They sought out some opinions by talking to people in the industry. So if there is, I would say if there is one coach that leaves, there's a little bit of craziness going on in Clemson, South Carolina, right? And who's an alum there? A guy who's now coached 2 years at Baylor and Notre Dame. Does Coach Dabo, who loves him, recommended him to Tommy Reese and Marcus Freeman? Does Dabo say, hey, we got to go through some changes over here. You want to come home? That may be one I see just because now he's got a couple years under his belt.
Interesting.
Not that we want that at all. He's done a hell of a job.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what time it is, Tim? Well, first of all, it's time to get him off the show while I do an ad read here. And it is time to hear from one of our new sponsors, Rogue Shop, which is a husband and wife outfit, as Mr. Rogue and his wife, Shar, are craft cannabis farmers who specialize in small batch sustainable plant medicine, a true holistic type of small business. They farm it and grow everything themselves. They do everything by hand, and their website to visit is rogueshop.com. Yeah, folks, there are products that will give you that euphoria, but last night, I needed to get a really good night's of sleep. I had a dental procedure on Wednesday morning, and I took a Rogue Shop product and helped me fall right to sleep and woke up feeling great. So there's products that will give you euphoria, but folks, there is so much more. And if you have questions about what a product does, jump on the website the owners of the company will steer you in the right direction. And when I received a box of product, they answered all the questions that I had and left me handwritten detailed instructions. Shar and Mr. Rogue will certainly take care of you. And folks, their goal is holistic healing, making your life better. If you suffer from stress, insomnia, and you want to reduce inflammation, if you have any issues with anxiety and mood disorders, they'll also have topicals that are great for pain in specific areas. Head over to RogueShop.com, folks, RogueShop.com, and use promo code Blue and Gold. That is BLUANDGOLD. That'll get you 10% off your order. Mr. Hydes, bring you back in. Last segment of today's.
Just 30 seconds to wrap up. I was just reading the news. This news just broke, talking about coaches, right? You never know in this industry. Georgia Tech is going to hire their interim coach, right?
Yep.
First two guys he fires is the offensive coordinator, Chip Long, wide receiver coach Dell Alexander. So that just broke in less than an hour ago. So coaching, you never know in this crazy world. And I was reading the comments while you're doing the ad is someone mentioned Mickens. You're right. He coached with going to Wisconsin. Who knows? He coached with Fickell at Cincy. Yet he's a high school buddy, obviously, with Marcus Freeman, but in the coaching world, it's all about money, promotion, and moving the way up the food chain. So you never know.
Yeah. K-Mac just said, we're almost at 20K subscribers. Yeah. On YouTube. It's pretty sweet to think that when we really started doing this, we had about 3,000. It was a dormant YouTube site I took over in like summer 2020. You know, started doing podcasts with the Great Loose Emoji and Mike Goolsby once a week, and it turned into doing the live shows, and they were a disaster using this free software to get what you pay for. And then our first big show was the Clemson game of 2020, and we had like 500 live viewers. It was like, oh my gosh, like we had never had more than 100. And then, yeah, that night just blew up, and yeah, here we are. We brought on Tim in early 2021 and been through a couple seasons with us now. And here's to many more, my friend. But now,
Mike, if I go on YouTube and I try and find something, there's too much content. I got to scroll like crazy looking for stuff. Cause like you're saying, it's before you took over, it was like a video every 6 months of something like that. Right. And when you go in the long history and you scroll through the videos, you'll see the 2020 and then a chunk. Cause Lou Somogyi used to do after game videos like in 2014. And then there was nothing after that for years.
Yeah. Yeah, I had one of my buddies on the ND beat texted me once and he said, yeah, because all the stuff you guys did on YouTube, my boss is making me do some of this now. And I was like, yeah, sorry. But it's copycat business. I think everybody's kind of has their own show or live show. But I'm a little bit biased, but I think we have the biggest and best product, and we're only scratching the surface. Sorry about this, Joy. I forgot to mention your super chat. You asked, what about Avery Davis? That's done.
He's not coming back. It would be for a seventh year, and Avery already said no. Because they could petition for injuries and whatnot. Avery's already said no to that.
Yeah. All right, folks. Hit the thumbs up on this video. Subscribe to our channel, of course, for more content. Last segment here is talking about bowl projections. This is an article that Patrick Engel at Blue and Gold wrote on Sunday. So it looks like got an ESPN guy projecting two of them projecting Notre Dame in the Gator Bowl versus South Carolina. Action Network says Gator Bowl versus South Carolina. USA Today still has Notre Dame and Oregon playing in the Holiday Bowl. But folks, Gator Bowl versus SEC, Gator Bowl versus SEC, Gator Bowl versus SEC. Patrick, he's very smart about the eligibility stuff as well as who's playing in what bowl game. So it certainly looks like Notre Dame versus the SEC, between South Carolina, maybe Arkansas or Mississippi State, Ole Miss. Is there a particular team that you would like to see in that?
Yeah, kudos real quick to Patrick Engel, who, he's written about who picks first. Believe it or not, there's like a selection thing. And with Florida State being so ranked, for the first time in a long time, they're probably going to get first, because there's a couple of those Florida Bowls. And then it comes down to the Gator Holiday picking second or third. But I actually did a draft yesterday. I was sitting there at work just starting to figure out, because I went on the same thing. I was like, all right, well, what's the pecking order for the SEC? And, Georgia, the playoff, Alabama is going to be the second, which is amazing. How the heck are they ahead of Tennessee? But that's a conversation for another story. So you got them to the Sugar as the highest ranked SEC team. And then the Orange Bowl gets the next one, which is Tennessee. People keep asking about LSU. LSU is 99% locked into the Citrus Bowl. And just because they're that next pecking order of teams. So they'll take LSU. The way I keep doing it, all these teams are going where? I see Notre Dame playing Mississippi State, which a lot of predictions are. And when I start doing the draft order, I'm like, I think the Gator Bowl is going to pick them to play. I got them versus Mississippi State. I want the Holiday Bowl, because I love Petco Park. I love the Gas Lamp Quarter, the district down there in downtown San Diego. I bet you $5. Those people down there are dying for the Irish fans to come. That would be great with a Washington-Utah game. But if I had to put a bet today, I would say Notre Dame-Mississippi State, who's also 8-4, third place in the SEC West, the toughest conference in the country. That would be a hell of a football game, because they got a great quarterback as well.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out the Gator Bowl. Is December 30th.
Is it 30th? Okay.
And I travel around that time for the All-American Bowl and Under Armour All-American Bowl. So I'm trying to.
Aren't they starting to go after New Year's now? No. The one in San Antonio? Is it after?
Crap. I'm flying to Orlando the 30th. I'm just doing a couple of practice. So I will be in Florida.
For the All-American? That's the Under Armour, right?
Under Armour's first. Yeah. So I'm doing Under Armour. They do like a night practice and then a morning practice the next day. So I'm rooting because the Holiday Bowl's on what, the 28th?
28th, yes.
I'm rooting for that one.
I would love the Holiday Bowl. I would love to play
it. Yeah, I want to be able to cover it. Yeah, I got to practice.
That goes awesome. I mean, that downtown, if anyone's ever been there, you know, they know what I'm talking about. That downtown San Diego area, the Gaslamp district is awesome. Loaded with sports bars all over. And that district would just be packed with Notre Dame fans down there. I was thinking SEC for a second. Notre Dame fans would swamp, the Gaslamp area. But I think the Gator Bowl is going to take them because it's that one shot to get them, you know, because the ACC contract, Patrick's broken this down amazing.
Yeah.
Where they get Notre Dame once every 4 years or something. I think they're allowed to take them. So I wouldn't be surprised if Gator sends them and they send North Carolina out to the Holiday Bowl.
I don't know how familiar you are with the state of Florida, Tim, but it's really just like it's five different states within one. You know, you got the Clearwater, Florida area, yep. You know, Orlando, is Disney.
Disney.
You're Miami, you're the Keys, just Fort Lauderdale, it's just Miami. South Florida. It's just kind of its own thing.
The Boca down, right?
Thing. The Panhandle's got its great stuff. It's but Jacksonville sucks. Gator Bowl's Jacksonville. There's some St. Augustine is in the north. East part of the state, and St. Augustine's really cool, but.
Okay. So it's not the Orlando Bowl's the one that FSU's going to, the Camping World or Relia Quest, whatever the heck Camping it's called World. Nowadays.
Sure, yeah. Well, that's what Notre Dame beat Iowa State in. But yeah, if they have the Gator Bowl, Jacksonville. It's kind of like they're on Pitt State. And I apologize if I'm upsetting anyone from Jacksonville. I'm a Florida Floridian. Exactly.
Yeah, you're a Florida guy. You know it.
Anyway,
I've been up and down. I've never been to Jacksonville. I've been up and down the state, see? Though. I've driven from Tampa to South Beach a couple different times, and it's that middle part is an interesting part of Florida. Florida has multiple, like you're saying, multiple states. It's like California, where I'm from. California's got regions like crazy. The Bakersfield to Fresno is night and day when you're talking Los Angeles or San Francisco, and then you got the woods area north of Frisco that, you know, as you start to get into Oregon and Los Angeles, to me is LA to San Diego is all one section now.
I agree. Yeah. Mr. Hyde, that's going to do it for this show.
Love it.
Hour just kind of blew by here. We even skipped the topic. We'll get to it next week. It's a recruiting topic. We'll get to it then. Going anywhere. But make sure you lock in, folks, to blueandgold.com. If you're just now tuning into the show in the past 10 minutes or so or 20 minutes, rewind, head to the beginning, catch up on what you missed on, or we'll be uploading this on podcast as well. Please head over to blueandgold.com. If you just always are wanting to scratch that itch of Notre Dame football coverage and always wanting more, go to blueandgold.com. You'll be on the site all day at work reading, and as Tim would say, chit-chatting on the message board, staying up to date on Notre Dame football and talking with guys like me and Tim and Patrick Engel and Tyler Horka on our Blue and Gold message board. So that is going to do it for this week's show. Appreciate everyone, and we'll catch you next time.